Okay, we're back for episode 153. Joe, how you doing?
I'm just fine, Tim. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We're enjoying the nice late spring weather here. The sun is out. People are out enjoying the weather, walking around. Some are still wearing masks. Just today, the governor here announced that, at least in the northern part of the state, that you have to wear a mask. They didn't specify what type to enter any brick and mortar operation. But it's funny because there's a clause or an out under the ADA, and also HIPAA regulations. You just claim a medical problem or disability, and they can't ask you any more specifics, and you don't have to wear the mask. So what they've done is anyone, like I went into a brick and mortar operation today to get some coffee, and the guy behind the register demanded that I wear a mask. I told him I didn't have to, didn't want to because of a medical condition. He says, no, you have to. I said, but I'm not doing it. And I don't have to. And here I pointed out on my phone, I had the HIPAA and the ADA law there citing. And I said, you're subject to a fine if you make me say anything more about this. Now, ring me up. Let me get out of here. And he charged me $204. I gave him $2.10, told him to keep the change. There were about three people behind me who were dutifully wearing masks. So we had that nonsense. So they're keeping up the charade by making people don masks. It's a symbol of slavery, as Dr. Fauci said. It's a symbol that you care about. You're considerate for other people.
And I think it was a symbol.
A symbol. It's interesting. It's very scientific. Yeah. You know, symbol. You mean like you're wearing a crucifix or something, right?
Yeah.
And today I just sent a tweet from Britt Hume, the former news guy for Fox News and ABC. And Britt Hume said, the best reason for wearing a mask is not medical. The best reason is to be considerate of those who are frightened by this outbreak and are made uncomfortable around people who are not wearing one. So mask up not to be safe, but to be nice. So my response was, that's ridiculous. How about government officials and the news media stop misinforming and terrifying the public so we don't have to deal with insane people? How about those people who are too afraid to go out, stay inside, and we can all go out and go about our business and maintain society? So we're in this phase of insanity now. Oh, by the way, you did see that the video of the grocery store in Staten Island, right?
Yes, I saw that.
Where the mob chases out the two ladies who aren't wearing masks, and they get very threatening, and I like to see them use contact tracing to find out who those people were and maybe bring a civil lawsuit against the participants and practically even against the store, maybe even pursue criminal charges against those people, crowdfunded or something. Someone should hire a lawyer to pursue it or something, because that was awful.
Well, I mean, you can see what they're doing. They're just destroying the fabric of social intercourse, basically. Mm-hmm. They're wrecking society. Before we started the show, I was looking at a scientific paper, and it tested 455 people who had been in close proximity to asymptomatic positive coronavirus victims, right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, this is a whole bunch of people who have family members, typically, that tested positive. And the idea was to see how many of them got sick. And the answer was zero. So all 455 basically had no symptoms of coronavirus. And so the scientists concluded that the infection possibility from asymptomatic coronavirus victims was weak. Yeah. 0 for 455. But the point is that there is absolutely no reason in the world to wear masks if you are without symptoms, right? If you don't have a temperature. Uh-huh. There's no reason for you to wear a mask. You're not going to be infecting anybody. So that's the criteria for mask wearing, which, if you go to Asia, if you vacation there or spend time there, people wear masks all the time because they're all, it's just sort of a fad, I would have to say. There's just, you see at any one time, there'll be 10% of the population, 5% are wearing masks. But if you are sick, they always wear masks. It's just sort of a politeness. They actually do, you know, that kind of polite activity where they put a mask on because they don't want to infect anybody else. That would be our society under the best case. This mandatory mask wearing is really just done to, you know, it's like contact tracing, which is just mathematically preposterous. I mean, basically, you know, in a crowded city, you could cross-reference the entire city in about 2 days. So they all need to be contact traced because everyone's been, you know, everyone has been exposed to either symptomatic or asymptomatic coronavirus care. So what is the purpose of it? Well, it's to basically the purpose of contact tracing is to circumvent the constitutional requirement of legal process for incarceration. Mm-hmm. Because with contact tracing, they just, you know, assume the ability, the legal ability to put your, unless they don't like the situation in your house, to put you wherever the hell they want to put you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what's coming with contact tracing is that, they've had a couple of people who've been gone through the bridges and they, you know, they have insights into the program and they're being trained to not only to follow up on people, but then to be able to ask questions and determine the nature of the house that the people are staying in. And then you need your trusty iPhone to send videos or have someone to contact trace or come in and take videos, which then are analyzed to see if you're able to self-isolate. And if they don't like how your house is set up, then out you go. Now you're in the FEMA camp, and there they can really self-isolate. I'm sure they've got some great social distancing plan for the people they keep in the FEMA camps. But none of this makes any sense in terms of protection of the population, but it makes perfect sense in terms of just trashing our society, because the more we are beaten down psychologically, the more basically the easier it is to enslave us, keep us enslaved.
Yeah, I mean the this week the church has announced that they'd be opening under these new guidelines for our safety, of course. And our church announced that they're going on 50% capacity. Every other pew must be empty. Social distancing must be practiced, and wearing a mask, same like any brick and mortar operation. Now, can you imagine going? And there'd be no altar servers, so the whole tempo and solemnity of the mass is being compromised for this phantom virus. And not only that, is that again they're subjecting the parishioners, the churchgoers, to the psychological warfare. In fact, the hierarchy of the church is complicit in it, continuing, you know, the psyop. And so you're making everyone don't wear a mask inside the church. I guess you can pull them down when they go up to communion when you're 6 feet. What are they? I mean, you have to get close to the person to give communion. What are they going to get? They're going to like flick it into your mouth and hope to get it all the way in. I mean, how are they going to do this? But again, you see what they're doing to the mass is not they're making church so unpleasant, and the schools, the church, the same thing applies to the retail stores and everything. They're setting conditions that make shopping or even going to church so unpleasant that the parish itself won't be viable in a very short period of time, and it'll shut down. The schools will shut down. And that's the one thing the church, again, is just it's destroying itself by going along with this, by not fiercely opposing what they should have from the get-go. But, you know, I'm not going to participate in that, you know. And you know,
well, so, no one. It's like these public schools that they're setting up with all the social distancing structure, where you know they have plastic tarps between the desks, which are six feet apart.
That's insane.
It's claustrophobic. I mean, think of the psychological trauma that the child is going to experience in that kind of environment.
Yeah. Growing up that way.
Now remember, in terms of the children, this is a 1 in 100,000 risk of fatality. I mean, it's just literally zero. Moreover, even if they did contract the virus, as I just pointed out, they would be asymptomatic. The idea they could spread it to granny who's at home is just about zero, mm-hmm. right? They just don't shed enough virus to really infect anyone. And so this, there's no medical or, you know, any other reason other than slave training. And so they trash our culture, our society. They take away, they nibble away at our freedom. And all of this has a terrible psychological effect, which basically the purpose is for you to just stay inside your house. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what they're trying to get at here. It just don't go out. It's too much trouble. If you go out, you get contact traced. If you go to school, you get social distance. You know, there's all of this. I mean, so there's just you just sit there and wait for the food to be delivered by the government. And that's what they're trying to do to us.
Oh, yeah. By the way, SNAP cards now cover home delivery of food.
Oh, what a shock. Yeah, so, of course. here, where I live, I mean, you know, Santa Barbara is an outdoor type place, you know, has beaches. And so the kind of the outdoor community is resisting this. They aren't, no one's wearing masks outside, except when you have to go into Trader Joe's or, you know, if you go into a retail store, you're hard to wear one. But there is resistance. I was walking on State Street, which is our commercial street. We only have one. And I was looking into the bars, which are kind of these open air things you can look into. And very few people wearing masks, you know.
How do you wear a basket? It's the bar or pub, public, these are all social settings. So you can't impose the social distancing and some of these other measures without destroying the whole idea of a public house or a bar.
Yeah, and these aren't really real bars. They're technically classified as restaurants, but they would have a place to serve alcohol. And so there would be groups, and the groups would just, they would be in their normal situation. There'd be like four people, you know, sitting, watching, you know, Oprah on TV and drinking beer, mm-hmm. you know. And so it feels normal, but there's also a fraction of our population that has been completely psychologically enslaved. In other words, these are the people that are out, but inside homes, there are people, you know, shuddering in fear. I mean, you know, before we started talking on the air, you were talking about a guy you were, you know, encountered who was coming out of his house and he was wearing a mask while he was in his own home. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are people who do that, I've seen. And so, well, why would in the world would you do this? It is because your mind has basically been taken from you, and that individual then becomes a point of infection, because what's really being inserted into our world is this virus of slavery. And when some weakling, you know, who is basically, you know, has some psychological comorbidity, to use an expression, succumbs and then wears the masks, then he then creates this herd effect, right? And now you everyone is wearing a mask and you feel strange if you don't put one on. You know, so this is what they're trying to do, is they're trying to slowly basically use their understanding of like social dynamics to put, you know, and it isn't just, the mask isn't just a symbol of slavery. Its functionality is slavery, because you can't talk. You know, you just can't communicate with other people. We were at Costco. I was getting my organic blueberries and toilet paper. And the person was trying to talk to the person who was selling, and they had some complication about what the woman was trying to buy. And it was hilarious. Well, it's also pathetic, but because she would say something and then he couldn't understand. He would try to ask her to explain it. Then she couldn't hear what he was saying. these muffled. And so finally she took off her mask and shouted it, you know, and then put the mask right back over her face as quickly as she could. I mean, oh man, this is the future. You know, this is how easily our minds are wrecked.
Well, I saw an interesting article that is a place out in California. A clinic said they've getting more people have died from suicide than from COVID.
Yeah, way more, no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, I've seen this fact We played it over and over again, different counties, and people come forward and they say, you know, because let's face it, we were, you know, as a culture, America was very ill before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's 300 million prescriptions for OxyContin written every year for opiates, right? So we were a disease. I mean, you could say we were psychologically comorbid as an entire culture, right? We were very, very sick. We were toxified. And of course, you know, people are sitting there watching football and Fox News. I mean, you know, obviously they're going to have low self-esteem. You know, they're just feeling miserable. So they're barely hanging on. And then when you add, you know, the lockdown, the effects of, you know, this the isolation. Well, is it a surprise to anyone that there's been this epidemic of suicide? I'll tell you, it's going to get a lot worse. You'll see. Just like I was looking at the, you know, they now are realizing that 100,000 businesses in New York are not going to reopen. That was a stat I read this morning. 100,000 businesses are not going to reopen. So that's going to be a hole in the entire economy no matter what they do. They can reopen to everything, and if you lose 100,000 of the, you know, the employment and the, you know, the business activity in the city, it's just too much of a drain, right? You're going to have a pull down. You're going to be in a spiral down, and this is what they want. And because we are going to be in a spiral down, see, the problem here is this: we're going to be spiraling down psychologically and economically. This is just a given at this point. Everyone can see it now. But the problem is we aren't going to come out of it because the group that controls the government is intentionally bringing these things about and will want to continue the process.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it is in their interest to have us basically crash and go out of existence. So the further down they can drive us, the better. These reopenings, I think, are pretty, you know, illustrative of what the plan is, because, you know, it's like they're opening up a public school, like our public school, and then this guy have a little demonstration. It was a video that went around. I got shown it. I mean, really, it was that what they were doing was turning elementary schools into centers of incarceration that. If this was how they kept adult prisoners, there would be lawsuits by the ACLU against the penal institution.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't keep people in these little tiny tarps. I mean, there are requirements, right, for your penal incarceration, and they aren't being maintained with these plastic tarps they're putting around the kids. And they're not, I mean, they're supposed to be a certain amount of free time and recreation. How much free time can you have if you have to go out into these areas that are tarped off with little zones and boxes that your kids are supposed to sit in? I mean, even the food is going to be ridiculous, you know, because there's all these requirements about, you know, how you can bring it in, what you have to do. I mean, prisoners are freer than our elementary school kids are going to be this coming year. Now, the response here is everyone is trying to figure out how to homeschool, which is great. They should have been doing this like, you know, 20 years ago, but now they're being forced to. And let's hope that you know, they're able to pull it off. Now here, this is like a, you know, a community with resources, but just imagine what it's like in a poor community, right? How are they going to organize to do homeschooling? It's going to be really tough. No resources, no people who have free time or even any education to teach the kids with, because so many of them are disadvantaged. So this is really going to be challenging for us as a people. But you know, there's another side to the coin, Tim, which is that we are now forced basically to take control of our culture. Finally, it's come to that. We have to take control of our own policing, our own food, our own economy, and our own education, because now the government is exposed. Everyone can see what it is. It is against us. It is controlled by a secret society that wants to enslave and destroy the people. And this is a real problem, as people can now see clearly. So this is forcing us to be self-reliant, and there's nothing wrong with that. I hope that, you know, that we can quickly, you know, increase the energy of our self-reliance, you know, because we're gonna need it.
Yeah, there was a quite a some concern in Kentucky because the protests there, they hung the governor out there in effigy. And he was, of course, the governor and all the politicians were just outraged at this. Of course, hanging, you know, political figures in effigy is a long tradition. It's a sign of disapproval, I guess you could say. It's
sure.
You know, and the governor is feigning all concern and upset about it, but you know, it's feedback. It's the people telling you, and the governor himself has implemented policies that have ruined the lives of, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of his constituents, of Kentuckians, and he's going to sit there and wonder why there might be some hostility towards him. I mean, this is how aloof he is, how indifferent he is to the suffering he's caused. Of course, he's a scion of a political family. His father was the governor before him, so he was more or less selected for the position. But yeah, someone wrote "Sic Semper Tyrannis" on the effigy, the dummy that they hung. And I'm reading the article about it, and it's in, you know, the article reads, "It's what John Wilkes Booth reportedly yelled when he shot Lincoln." John Wilkes Booth was a Shakespearean actor. It's Julius Caesar, but it's also on the state seal of the state of Virginia, and it's thus always to tyrants. It's a warning. When you overstep your bounds, you are now a dictator, a tyrant, and there are consequences for this. And these people are going to have to feel some sort of consequence for their actions because they're no longer representing the people. And I think they are working for foreign interests, you know, globalist interests. And I think we can, there are networks that can, that we can show that establish this. But you know, there's, you know, yeah, you were hung in effigy. It's better than the real thing. But I love it because they're just amazed at the hostile nature of some of these protests. But I've said this before, wasn't it hostile to shut down the economy and throw 40 million Americans out of work? I mean, come on. I mean,
yeah. Well, and of course, you can see that a lot of these policies are simply designed basically to create the impression that they're opening up. But in fact, they're there to destroy whatever's left of the industry. I was sent the requirements of that are being proposed for the state of Hawaii to reopen the tourist industry.
Yes.
And they're talking about how we've got to really get this this tourist industry. So here's our idea. So everyone has to be tested before you get on the plane. Then you have to be tested after you leave, when you leave the plane for temperature and whatnot. You have to be tested every 3 days while you're there. Every 3 days, you need to go in
so that's
for a
just,
test. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. This is really the aloha spirit in action, though. Here's the deal. Now, if you fail any of these tests, they will quarantine you for 14 days, and this will be overseen by the National Guard. So this is kind of not the luau and the beach that I came here for like a honeymoon, and I've ended up in a concentration camp. So this this isn't exactly what we had in mind. But you can see that it's preposterous, right?
Yeah, they're not that stupid,
right? Well, unfortunately, they're not that stupid, so they have to have an ulterior motive.
Well, I mean, like I said, these governors, mayors, county executives, whatever. I mean, they're purposely destroying their own economies. Now, why? You know, the closing. You know, they've closed the pools. That these mask mandates. They canceled youth sports. The restrictions on the houses of worships that I talked about. You know, the church. They all part of a psyop. That, you know, it's there to demoralize and humiliate the public. And it's all there to normalize the austerity that's needed to impose a new normal, which is this technocracy thing they're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so obvious when they sit and people are, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? They're doing this because they want to grind you into the dirt so they can enslave you, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, there has been, you know, I mean, just from activity that I can see relating to me and our show and stuff, there's been a tremendous basically pickup of interest and awareness of all this. But I wonder if there is a chance for it to really become like a widely held position that the government is doing this deliberately.
Well, it was someone asked me about, what about these people worry about getting reelected? And maybe for some reason they're not worried about elections.
Yeah.
Because they're dissolving everything. Remember, the damage they're causing is we're assuming that the elect already start with paper ballots, and Trump made a good point about that, but it is right, it is designed for a fraud. And how do you maintain secret balloting under those conditions anyway? But anyway, is you're assuming that they're going to have elections. But if they can shut down, houses of worship, your right to go out to go out and travel and earn a living, these are all constitutional rights. Well, the Constitution requires for elections can be postponed in perpetuity because of a health crisis.
Course.
And at some point, what they're installing, when you have even government itself, you have all these governments have certain legal requirements to meet in person and have public assemblies. This is all part of government. It's a public operation. It's a public procedure. Where now they've gone to Zoom and teleconferencing and these things. So the government stepped back kind of into the shadows, and suppose they're meeting teleconferencing and these things. Congress has, although there was some talk about Congress doing this. So government is these governments aren't even meeting their legal requirements to meet under the guise of this pandemic, again, which has a mortality rate of a mild flu season, if that, even if the numbers are cooked. So they've used this to dissolve, what we think of what government is. And so how far would that go? And people are letting it happen as they cower in fear. A good half of the public cowers in fear. The other, maybe a good 35% is skeptical, and maybe 15 to 20% is outraged, and like me. But I guess all it takes is an irate minority. But at this point, I mean, it's self-perpetuating because what they're doing, they're telling everyone to stay inside. Don't go outside, because if you go outside, you'll notice that there's nothing really going on outside. But you'll go inside and you'll go online and watch, Worldometer and watch the death count go up or watch news coverage. There's interesting. I sent you that video at the Tucker Carlson where he was highlighting some of the I guess the hysteria of the media about people going out on Memorial Day weekend getting sun at the beach, and the one reporter, thousands of beachgoers at the beach, they're not wearing masks. And then there's that final scene, which is golden, where it's up in Wisconsin and they got MSNBC reporter going there. Of course, he's wearing his N95 mask because he's on the camera. And he said, I'm looking at hundreds of people walking around, not wearing masks. Look at this guy. This guy walks by. He's in a Green Bay Packers jersey. He says, not wearing a mask. And the guy goes, well, neither is your cameraman and your other assistant. And the guy goes, oh, it's live. And the news bimbo, I think Brooke, I forget her name. I don't know, Brooke something, Brooke Bimbo. She literally, all they're doing is filming people walking around on a nice late spring day, and she goes, stunning images.
Shocking.
Shocking. I mean, no, they're not. And none of these people follow the rules anyway. As you know about Chris Cuomo or Governor Pritzker or or Trudeau up in Canada, they all travel. Was it the governor of Michigan and her husband tried to get a boat into the water and
Right.
tried to use his influence? You know who I am? I'm the husband of the governor. So they're breaking the rules, and it's complete mockery of the people, and it's mockery and humiliation.
And the operation is, so well designed. People, it's hard for people to even grasp that it's going on. And it's one of the reasons why there hasn't been rebellion is because they control the kind of psychological structure. But I mean, think of like you were talking about the voting, how government can now disappear, the aspect of government that used to be public can now disappear, right? Zoom meetings in public, yet we're not invited. But our activity, voting, if it goes online, well, suddenly the ability to have a secret ballot is gone.
Yes.
Right? So this is just an example of how the computer, going back to Norbert Wiener and the cybernetics conferences that the Macy was putting on that led into MK Ultra, that this was actually designed. I mean, when they were developing the personal computer, MK Ultra, DARPA, and the Freemason secret societies were developing it, this is what it was for. This is why that it exists, so that activity then can be monitored. And or hidden. which either one they want. They can compartmentalize things away from us, but then they can also, you know, give us our news so that we don't understand what they're actually doing. I mean, I think a really good example is this police murder in Minneapolis that, I mean, if you notice, you had basically growing protests against the lockdown and the fake reopenings, right? There was just more of this. But then that suddenly is all swept away. It was just disappeared. It's not even in the news anymore. All protests and rioting now are related to this cop who had the knee on the black guy who then died. And, you know, this really looks, well, I mean, I'm sure it's fake. Certainly the, what the media is doing with it is artificial. But I think the whole thing was staged because the guy's name is Chauvin, which I think is, you know, literally the basis for the word chauvinist, you know, aggressively patriotic. So, you know, to represent the white male, he just, you know, and particularly in this kind of, you know, racist, violent, almost like a caricature, to set off the blacks so that they would then riot. And now, if you, I don't know if you noticed, you caught it, but the riot begins on 33rd Avenue.
Yes,
you saw that, I sure. So this is a Masonic project, and the idea is now they've got the protests off the news wires so that the public aren't seeing them. Because if they see them, then they'll, you know, that's how they would basically get the cue that, well, maybe I should join them. I don't like this having to wear masks into restaurant things as well. So this is the purpose of it. It knocks us aside. But hopefully the independent media can basically point this out, that sort of the violence that is being, you know, which is characterizing these riots is just basically another form of horror porn. Mm-hmm. And that's really what they're doing with it. It's just to create fear and anger, you know, but anger that's directed at the wrong point. You know, we should be carefully analyzing the activity to see what is the psychological purpose relating to us, what they're doing to us with this stuff.
You know, it's the same they did with the reported death numbers. And I think you sent me the story with Washington State, how Washington inflated its COVID-19 numbers. I think they included gunshot victims counted.
And
this was right after there was a protest about the lockdown. Same thing apparently occurred in Pennsylvania. Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania, they attributed 269 deaths, which never occurred, part of their death toll out there, in response to a protest about his emergency decree. You know, so we have a pattern there. We also had the CDC announce guidelines for new office spaces. And it calls for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advise offices to set up physical barriers between employees, post signs, and ensuring people are 6 feet apart. This is ridiculous. How do you even regulate this? And clean common areas and new guidance for reopening from the pandemic shutdown. So constant cleaning, exposure to toxic chemicals. The guidelines recommended checking the building's ventilation system for hazards associated with prolonged facility shutdown. Employers are supposed to identify potential workplace hazards, that could increase risk for COVID-19 transmission. This includes places such as break rooms and meeting rooms where it isn't likely workers could stay 6 feet apart from another person. Any seating in the office should be 6 feet away with other workers, and methods to physically separate employees in all areas of the facilities should be used. In the absence of physical barriers, signs or tape should be used to tell people to stand 6 feet apart. So you have police tape around, almost like wrapped around. I mean, this is absurd. Again, this is after it's been determined that asymptomatic transition is virtually zero.
Yeah, right. So, and what they're doing is that they're basically making the last thing in the world you want to see or experience is another human being.
Yep.
Because if you do, you're going to be contact traced. If you do, you're going to be subject to all of these regulations. And so what happens is, because no one is going to want to work in office spaces, they're going to be forced into online activity for employment. And now they can be observed. Every single keystroke can be recorded. They can, you know, basically have this kind of And of course now they're looking, they're asking, like, part of the contact tracing is they want to be able to see how you're doing through a video. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to make sure you look okay. I swear, it's actually like being a proposal. Yes. So you can see what now this is, we're getting, you know, Norbert Wiener's, you know, and the cybernetics conference and at the Macy's now suddenly becomes clearer and clearer.
Well, didn't that guy out in Ventura County, didn't he get death threats?
You know, I don't actually know if he got death threats. I read the there was like actually like a whole list of comments on the Ventura, you know, kind of they had a place where people could post.
Uh-huh.
I didn't actually read any death threats, but the language was definitely moving toward violence. There's no question that people were saying, that's it, I'm not, you know, in other words, they were basically responding with determination, which had in it implicit the idea that they would basically use physical force. So I don't think Lewin got any death threats. He may have, they didn't publicize it, but the next day, his walk back was absolutely incredible because it was just, he was walking back from the clearest declarative sentences imaginable, saying, oh, "I didn't. It was misunderstanding. I, you know, people didn't understand what I was saying. You know, just so. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned, I think it was last week, that this is the, you know, we are fighting basically to continue to exist as, you know, a species, and you know, what will be available to us after the beast vaccine and the slave training is completed is not a human being. I mean, we will be basically, you know, if you look at an autistic individual or even below that, that's what they're actually, you know, have in mind for the rest of the few of us that'll be around. So the line in the sand, and the line is red and it's written in blood. We're prepared to defend ourselves and our neighbors with our lives and with our blood. Otherwise, they're going to continue to do this. They will continue to, trash, and by that I mean, you know, debase our human experience in every way they can, because they know, they demoralize us, and then that leads to suicide, which is obviously one of the goals. And beyond that, you know, drug addictions, all of the medical maladies that will occur as we're locked down. So, you know, we just have to defend one another.
Yeah, there was a comment on church's website about some of the measures that the Catholic Church is taking to open the masses. And it's these social distancing, mask wearing measures. And someone commented to the pastor that he will never go to church again if he has to wear a mask. And again, it's these mandates are mealy mouth or vague because all you have to do is cite a medical reason. But nevertheless, it puts someone in the position of being uncomfortable going to church if everyone is wearing a mask and they're not. But the priest said that as a Catholic, you should desire the true presence of Christ and avail yourself of the sacraments. It's a small price to pay wearing a mask to do that. And I understand that point, but the problem is the measures they're taking are destroying the solemnity of the Mass. And what if they said in order to go to church, you have to have a vaccination? Would that be a small price to pay? Or they mandated some other absurdity. And so what they're doing is they're destroying the independence and also the atmosphere and solemnity of the Mass, so people stop going. And people stop participating in their parish, and that will destroy the church as an institution and cause the schools to close. So there's one more, civic institution institution that is destroyed, destroying itself. Because the problem with the hierarchy, and I'm assuming best of intentions, and I'm just for the sake of the argument, I think there's actually some betrayal here, some apostasy. Is they're taking the position that if you accommodate them, then that's the best route to go, as opposed to opposing them, making a principled stand. They should have made a principled stand 6-7 weeks ago. You know, this is a church that denied the Catholic sacraments for 8 weeks now, over a phantom virus.
Yeah, you know? I really would like to have you know, being able to reply to the priest, because he doesn't understand what he's saying.
He doesn't understand covert warfare.
Right. Well, but moreover, he doesn't. And of course, he doesn't understand the secret society that is controlling the government. I mean, so he's in the dark. But even if that wasn't the case, he would miss just an obvious point. He misses an obvious point with that statement, which is that, okay, I'll accept the mask. But if I do, what if they then say I have to be socially distant from my all my family members?
Mm-hmm.
What if they say I have to take a vaccination? Is that also a small price? Yeah. What if they say that because of contact tracing, they have to take my daughter for 2 weeks? Is that a small price to be able to pay? You see, the problem is it is the principle that you're accepting is not a small price. He's using this example because they always use the process of incrementalism to enslave, right? Just a little tiny bit at a time. But if you accept that kind of a completely illegal, right? Because it is obviously a breach of the inalienable rights in the Constitution. If you accept that, then you will not be able to defend any of those things that I mentioned. They will all just come one after another. And because you accepted them, you're going to end with eventually, you know, the beast vaccine being given to you and your daughter being in like a female. So the priest should be made to understand that we are defending not a small price. You see, he's just wrong, just flat out wrong. The mask is of a wave. And it isn't, of course, now. This wasn't the first. This is in a whole series of things, you know. But that we have to defend the principle of the inalienable rights, that you just can't, without any kind of legal process, come in and tell me I have to wear a mask, but I'm not hurting anybody.
And the same point I make about normal commerce and social intercourse cannot continue or return under these conditions. Same with businesses. So you're dealing with the outcome of these policies is going to be the immiseration and impoverishment of tens of millions, hundreds of millions of Americans and their enslavement. So it's not just an accommodation.
That's right.
You know, and that's the and like I said, these policies will result in the closure of countless parishes in the ensuing years and schools. It's already happening in New Jersey because they will no longer be viable, and the people won't be motivated to participate. And from the standpoint of a bishop or a priest, they will. You won't be able to evangelize and promote your faith.
You've accepted the small principle, but suddenly it becomes the entire structure of your religion.
Yeah,
and of the life beyond that you live here and supposedly in this free country. So the priest is so misguided with that. It's really sad to actually hear that kind of confusion, you know, because right now we really need people, particularly priests, people who are, you know, basically have influence, people who are in influence positions. They have to be thinking more clearly, you know, more courageously.
Yeah, I mean, it's the difference between that and the letter that I read last week with Cardinal Vigano.
Yes.
That's the outlook you want. Yet you have to acknowledge your enemies. You can still love them, but acknowledge them. The church hierarchy isn't acknowledging it, that they have an enemy, and because of that, you know, they're letting their flock be destroyed, be preyed upon. The whole point
of giving up their inalienable rights, they're giving up the ability to control their freedom of religious worship.
Mm-hmm.
This is a principle that is guaranteed in the Constitution. And if they say, well, we're going to go along with Governor Newsom because he wants us to shut down for another couple of weeks, it's a small price to pay. Well, it's not a small price. Because when you accept that incremental, you know, concession, you are absolutely giving up the principle. You're giving it up. You have to defend it always. That's why you can't ever let them say this is a small price. It is always the larger principle that has to be defended. And that's that they will never stop unless they are forced to stop. And that's going to require a priest to say, look, sorry, this is unconstitutional. I am asking all of my parishioners to come in. We're going to have a regular mass. And if the police come, we're going to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
If you had that happen three or four times, you see, it isn't just that, you know, this would inspire the parishioners and then the whole religious movement. It would inspire the whole nation. You see, that would be something that would inspire the nation if people actually were prepared to pay the blood price to defend the inalienable rights, because, you know, then they would go, you know, I'm going to be with those people because I could see that when they defend their right of freedom of religion, they're also defending my right of free speech. They're also defending my right to walk outside without a mask if I don't feel it.
Yeah, it's also, it's a return to sanity.
And
because what they're doing is they're participating, they're complicit in spreading the mass psychosis, and wearing the mask. And just the psychological effect of, it was L.A. County actually proposing kids wear masks all day.
Yeah.
You know.
Just to interject, San Francisco is requiring it. I don't know if it's passed, but this is actually on the table that when you're outside, you have to wear a mask, period.
Now, again, given everyone knows, they can say, no, I have a medical condition, and no one can ask. But the thing is, most people won't do that.
Well, why don't we go through that? Because this is like something that's very useful we can actually do, and it should go on more often. I know you had that encounter today. Can you explain that to us and just like make people aware of this?
Well, basically, this has been around in several states, and this was implemented in our state today, which is kind of funny. Why now? Why not 2 months ago or a month ago? You know, it makes no sense. And this is done under the pretext of this phase one reopening, you know, which is designed just to kind of like these fake reopenings so they can just destroy the economy. But there's orders that are being read outside stores. Order of the governor of the state of Virginia, Ralph Northam. Shoppers must wear masks or face coverings. Cloth masks are acceptable. Okay, that's outside a store there. Okay, there is a printout you can have. It shows a mask, and it's a statement that says, I am exempt from any ordinances requiring face mask uses in public. Wearing a face mask poses a health risk to me. Under the ADA and HIPAA, I am not required to discuss medical conditions to you. Department of Justice ADA violation information line 800-514-0300. Organizations and businesses, well, I think would apply to, you know, retail stores, grocery stores, and also public schools, can be fined up to $75,000 for the first ADA violation and $150,000 for any subsequent violation. To all government agents, please provide lawful and necessary consideration to aid the bearer in this unimpeded exercise of their constitutionally protected rights. Thank you for understanding and assistance. So basically, the law itself, anyone can just say, no, I don't want to wear it for medical reasons. And it's honest because I like to be able to breathe properly, you know. And I don't want to suffer the psychological effects that this.
Yeah, there's actually a medical term, capnia, I believe it is. That describes the negative effects some people have from breathing through masks. And I looked it up. It's a very, very broad, kind of almost, you know, everybody can have this affliction who claims it. And so this is a really good loophole, and it's really important. I hope everybody that listens to us considers doing this, because if enough people do, we can actually resist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because we show people that this is possible. I mean, so many people, they just do it because they're told.
Yeah.
They don't think that their actions are evil. They don't understand that when they go along with these things thoughtlessly. Conditions evil and wrong, you've got to actually act differently. I try to do it, and you know, it's so far I haven't been arrested or beaten up.
Well, I would say I would say not doing it is treason, because these governors, these mayors, these officials that are implementing these things, this is treason against the state, the legitimate state. I mean, the society. And if you do not Absolutely. Oppose these things, you are complicit in it, and you are committing treason against it, because you have a duty as an adult citizen in the state to uphold the laws and traditions that keep the state free. And by doing this, you are not doing it. These are unlawful mandates. It's a false pandemic. It's BS. It's on its face. They're absurd. They're contradictory. And so what you should use whatever means necessary. Civil disobedience at this point. It may get to the point where we have to go move beyond that. But right now, if people do this, they walk in and they have these mask mandates and 15 to 20% of the patrons aren't doing it, then they're not going to enforce it, ever try to enforce it, because it's
exactly, and it goes back to the point, the really good point you made a couple weeks ago, where you said you cited this, that research where if one person, will refuse to buy into the intimidation, they were doing group dynamic studies, mm-hmm. and they had a bunch of shills who would just say basically, no, it's not black, it's white, or they would basically take the alternative to what was an obvious reality. And they found that the one person who was the subject of the experiment, if he or she held strong, then that would basically activate the thinking capacity of others who weren't in the control group, and then the intimidation could be broken. So that's the principle we need to operate under. We need to operate under the principle that if we just refuse to wear the mask and don't let them bully us into it, we have to hope that that will basically raise the morale of those who see us, who are of the group that is closer to free thinking than slavery, right? That's what we need to do. We have to, in our behavior, we always have to remember that, it's a bell curve. There are some people who will just obey whatever the government tells them to do, but there is a cohort inside our culture that is concerned and worried and skeptical. And if they see someone say, no, I'm sorry, masks are, they are, have no medical advantage, and they make me sick, so I'm not going to wear it, then maybe some of them will come forward. And I don't think we need too many. I mean, like you say, I think if 15% of people who came into Trader Joe's just said, nah, forget it, they would have to change policy. They would have to do something, and perhaps then you could even get like one of these mass media food outlets to say, we're not going to enforce this. Our attorneys tell us that this is unconstitutional and we are going to defend our patrons. Now you've got a rebellion.
Yeah. And you cite the New England Journal of Medicine, who said that masks are just a sign of anxiety and fear. They serve no medical function.
Wow, what a shock.
I mean, Fauci, it's a symbol. Do it because it's polite. What? I mean, no, then say don't. Then even him, remember last March saying, it aggravates it because actually you're constantly touching it. And, of course, the germs get on the mask and then you touch it and all that. So really, it's a detriment to your health, not to mention the fact it makes you breathe in more of your CO2, which isn't good for you. It increases the stress levels and all that, which makes you actually, your immune system gets weaker in that situation. Same way that, isolating or sheltering at home, not going out, will weaken your immune system. And even Bill Gates has said, the whole traditional idea of the, natural herd immunity was as the community goes out and people meet with one another, touch, talk, whatever that. Their immune systems are built and they're healthier. Well, Bill Gates himself, in an interview, said he wants to avoid doing that. Because this is health expert Bill Gates. Because we all know he has a medical degree, and he's a scientist who never graduated from college. Yet he's the one dictating or determining a global public health policy through his philanthropy.
They have very weak personality storylines that they give us. Gates is a genius and he advocating vaccines. We're supposed to just sit here and accept him. But I just hope this is that, what I get And I wish I had a better way of doing sampling. Maybe I don't, because maybe it'd be depressing. But, you know, my world, my input is that basically it's 10 times the number of really concerned and people willing to act out against this. There is just, I mean, people that I could never have imagined, you know, thinking about a secret society are now actually openly questioning it, because it's just so ham-handed and so obvious. So, you know, maybe just a little bit of fire stoking, we can get going. They landed a blow against us with this absurd police brutality psyop, you know, because it got the, you know, the images of the protests, you know, vaporized right now. But, you know, hopefully we can continue to basically fan the fire and have more people act out, because, you know, I mean, what are they, do they really reopen the city with so contact? That city's based on tourism and restaurants.
Yeah.
That's what it does. Who's going to want to do that in that environment? Forget it. It's not going to function. It'll collapse economically. How about Hawaii? You know, is that the you know, vacation of your dreams to go in and see if you're going to be like sequestered in a FEMA camp with the National Guard for 2 weeks every time you take one of these tests? You know, they have false positive like 50% of the time or something.
Yeah, the CDC said that this week. Yeah,
right. So you're just, it's just a crapshoot. I mean, it's just so who's going to even bother with that, right? So.
These, I mean, antibody tests, there's a cofactor. There's like antibodies can sign any number of things, not to mention the many other coronaviruses that are out there, you know, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you know, there's been so much damage, and it's so, I think, exposed now as having no real medical purpose. You know, the loss of 100,000 businesses in New York, the ending of the Hawaiian tourist industry.
Think about that. The governor of the state of Hawaii is conspiring. Now, why would the state of Hawaii want to end the tourist industry? Why would these governors and mayors destroy their local economies, destroy the tax bases that they rely on? Is there another source of funding? Are they answering to another power? And this is what John Rappaport suggested, that these governors and these mayors are actually agents of a foreign power. And I think it's the global, you know, this globalist cabal.
They have to be. It's obvious now. Everyone should understand that.
I mean, originally we were supposed to talk about Agenda 21, but that's
right.
Okay. But within Agenda 21, these networks were established decades ago at the Rio Treaty under the guise of sustainability, and also the Global Cities Initiative, where the mayors would get together, and this sort of, what it had was the cities would link together with other cities and have what they call technological diplomacy. And also they would coordinate responses to crises. So this is superseding the state and superseding the national government. And so now you have a network of these various mayors. Juan Romanuel did this in Chicago, but also San Francisco is one, New York is one. And so these major cities now, it's kind of funny because you look at what's happened with Trump. Trump took a step back and let the states handle it, almost like a 10th Amendment situation where the states' rights and states are handling this. Let the local authorities handle these things. But the local authorities all are responding in sort of this curious uniformity or conformity to the same agenda. Why is that? Because perhaps they had been coordinated through this global strong, what was it, Resilient Cities, Global Cities, and it's all a sustainability program that's been in place for decades, and this networking was set up, where now they themselves are networked into this globalist set, where they're implementing Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainability projects that we see everywhere. If you live in a community that's a sustainability community like mine, you'll see this happening. And these are the ones that are most resistant to opening. It's not just a blue-red or right-left thing, although that image is presented to us. But for some reason, you know, whether it's Governor Newsom of California, or it's Cuomo of New York, or it's a Pritzker of, he's another one. Actually, the Pritzker Foundation actually funds the Global City Initiatives in Chicago. They're not too interested in the economies of their states, and it's almost like they're grinding it into the ground purposely. So when the public sits back and says, why are you doing this? Well, it's because they want you to be poor. This is all part of the agenda of sort of grinding down, destroying the economy, so then people can be reshuffled or transported or relocated when all is gone, and
They
they
won't be
can,
producing families. I mean, this is a straight shoot into genocide. I mean, really, what you're looking at is genocide. And it's just, okay, you have different things going on, but it ends up with like the Georgia Guidestone number.
Well, how are people meeting? What's the effect on the young people, and what's
Yeah,
the birth rate?
how about like a romance? How is that? I mean, that's going to really take, that's going to have a real boost, with your social, distancing classrooms, and then you're off to your honeymoon in Hawaii in the FEMA camp. I mean, this is so they are this again. These are all of these things are basically genocide in their ultimate goal, and that's why Bill Gates is the poster guy. I mean, bear in mind that his grandfather was like a big shot in the eugenics movement. His father was the head of Planned Parenthood, which comes right out of Quattro Coronati, and now he transitioned from software to vaccines. I mean, really? That's like a just a natural transition. So you
Oh yeah,
have.
I was at a house today, and talking to this old guy. We're looking at his house, and he says, we're talking about his room upstairs, and he says, "Yeah, that's the room that my grandkids stay." Oh, I haven't seen them in a couple months because this whole thing. You know,
Yeah.
apparently they used to come and visit a lot, and stay there, and that's not happening now. There are people who, I mean, let's face it. Let's say you're now middle people, normal people can't fly anymore.
No, it's impossible. I mean, it's how many places you have to sequester, and of course you don't really know. You're so uncertain about what's going to be the viral condition. That could you could have a second wave. People are just looking for excuses not to travel. This is obviously not traveling is one of the goals to keep people pinned down because when they travel, then they lose control of them, and so they have to keep us pinned down. And of course, that we're now pinned down into our homes, literally, and so this is all just a slow motion genocide. The destruction of the businesses is, one of the things that will, we don't have children. There's all these things that go along with it, but it ends up with just there's fewer and fewer and fewer of us. I was going to mention in terms of like the, responses, the lawsuits have actually had some good success. And so it would be great to have businesses going after local governments for their restrictions. In other words, for mask wearing. That we need to actually attack the medical diktats, so that we can expose them. Because in these lawsuits, I mean, we talked about this 2 months ago. In the lawsuits, you'd have a chance to have public process. You could have lawyers say, okay, let's look at the data, the so-called science behind the government's position. Because remember, we never, they have suddenly reverted from a democracy to a dictatorship overnight, where, you sit there and you're thinking you're in a free country, and all of a sudden you're told you have to wear a mask.
Yeah, you could you in a
Where
cross-examination.
was the process, right? No, it's all an emergency where there is no process. The governor has just told you have to wear a mask, you have to wear a mask. Well, he like in our state, Newsom talks about science, but of course there isn't any in back of him. If the lawsuits were designed right, then you'd have a process in the sense that the public could at least see that it's fake, and that would help stiffen the spine of the citizens to fight it off. Man, if I was a Hawaiian tourist industry business, I would sure be looking around for other people to help bring an immediate lawsuit against the government there for fake science, because they obviously are using it, and if we ex if you expose it, maybe that could actually get the public to tip and have a rebellion.
Well, at least legal proceedings, theoretically, you should have cross-examination. And okay, what's the science behind mask wearing? Oh, okay. What's the science behind the virus itself and the death rate? Oh, the death certificates. Wait a second, there is no science or hard evidence for a pandemic to begin with, or just declared. What's your definition of pandemic? Oh, you changed the definition of pandemic. Then you implement an emergency power. What's the legal basis for these emergency powers and these things?
Yeah, we've gotten used to, and this was the plan, we've gotten used to the government having dictatorial powers. That's what has really been the end result of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That we have just been, with the horror porn, we didn't think that, well, wait a second, this might be, you know, a government maneuver to basically set up a dictatorship. But now you can see more and more that's really what it is, that the public doesn't even have a clue as to why these diktats are being created, right? I mean, they don't know. They're just told to wear the mask. So they wear it.
Yeah, and it's exposed. I mean, in my mind, they don't have any credibility. But basically, the credibility or legitimacy of these governments is gone now for any thinking person. And then, you know, what's the next step from there? Even these institutions, over last weekend, I was talking about the whole pandemic thing. And a sibling mentioned that he knows someone who's a researcher for Johns Hopkins. I said, Johns Hopkins has no credibility. And I says, you know, he may be an expert and all that, but Johns Hopkins participated in Event 201. You know, Johns Hopkins is the one that sponsored the research. Was the guy John Money in transgender research?
Yeah, it just couldn't be a dirtier institution.
You know, well, they get these institutions have no legitimacy in my mind anymore. I mean, come on. That's like citing the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or Gavi or something as some sort of, it's like citing the World Health Organization at this point.
Yeah, and these organizations, you know, they it's the soft dictatorship process where we just get used to, well, CDC declares a pandemic. Who cites the model of Ferguson and the Imperial College, and there's going to be 5 million Americans dead, so that the horror porn then is the justification. Even though the public never really had a chance to review the science, never took a vote on it, we're just getting used to day by day through the slave training to just accept the fact that government doesn't have a process anymore that we participate in.
Yeah.
The one of the unalienable rights is that there's a process. They want to arrest you. They have to actually have a legal process for that. But no longer, because if they want to incarcerate someone under the medical emergency process, you know, the contact tracing, there is no appeal.
Mm-hmm.
The kid just is taken and then is gone. That's that.
Hey, before I let you go,
before
I let you go, what did you think about Trump signing that executive order regarding the social media and tech companies?
I'm of course happy to really sure actually going to have much effect. I think as I see how they do these things, the incrementalism always involves two step forwards and one step back. Mm-hmm. Psychological control is affected. Is that so? If it is a trend, terrific. But if then forward and censorship, back into play, then I would just say that would be, as I see, the incremental process. It's the one step back, because that's when they take the one step back. It's sort of just look at the lockdown. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the lockdown, it's draconian, and then you have these huge celebrations. We're reopening, except for the fact that, you know, you can go to your barber shop, but you can't cut your hair.
Yes. You know?
And you can go to a bar, but you can't drink anything because you have to wear a mask. I mean, see what I'm saying? It's they always have the one step back. It's just part of the mind control. So when I see Trump do that, I'm glad. But at the same time, what Trump should do is not that, but basically contact the military and go and arrest all the governors.
Yes,
he's really going to be fulfilling his oath. He should call in, you know, the staff and just say, look, we have to arrest every one of these people. It's going to be a constitutional crisis, but that's just too damn bad.
Well, they have violated,
and I have to stop it. So until I see that, then I don't trust him.
Yeah, they have violated their own state constitutions and the federal constitution.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. These offices, the offices of the state sovereigns and the local sovereigns, they began with the statement that you'll defend the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the oath of the sheriff in California, his first phrase. Now, some have done that, but others have not. I mean, like our Congress people. They take the basically the same phraseology, first stanza, you know, defend the Constitution. If they have permitted Basically, the religious organizations to be told they have to shut down, or that you can't leave your home even though you're not sick and hurting you. They violated the Constitution. They're not legitimate. You know, they are not legitimate. And so for Trump, he needs to, if he's real. I mean, I know there's a lot of this hopium, you know, the deep state, they have these very complicated theories about Trump, that he has to maneuver this kind of shadowy chess position. Otherwise he'll be taken out and he's fighting, there's all these kind of QAnon kind of theories. Mm-hmm. I mean, really what he needs to do is just contact the military. He says, gentlemen, I'm the commander in chief. You have to, fulfill your obligations to me and the American people. Here is the list of traitors that I need you to go and arrest because they are in violation. Here they are. And it's every governor. It would be a long list, buddy. But they all need to be arrested, and there has to be a trial for the whole lot of them because they have breached the Constitution. They violated their oath. And that is the definition of treason.
42 of the 50 governors.
Yeah.
And that's...
It would be a long... a long trial, but it would be one in which, I would hope every constitutional right would be granted them, even though they granted us nothing. And then the public could see exactly what was the science, so to wake everyone up. So, we are in the process of being genocided. It's by its very definition unpleasant.
Well, I mean, what is it like when there's a judicial decree or that a federal judge does with the local government regarding voting rights or some issue. What do they call those things where they have
injunction?
There's an injunction not constraining. There's an order where they come to an agreement where they meet, they agree to federal monitoring, whether it's hiring of police chiefs or how elections are conducted, and the federal government will monitor to see that it maintains these standards based on federal law. How's that any different, or sending in federal troops to integrate a high school or a college,
It isn't any different. In fact, this is far more egregious.
Yes.
It's far more egregious than any of those things. This is, and of course, it's infecting far more people. So.
I'm sorry. The term is consent decree.
Okay. Consent decree. Yeah. Okay.
These various consent decrees where the states bow to federal authority in these things. Okay. We'll litigation will stop and we'll consent to these standards. Voting Rights Act, or school, school integration, or busing, all these things. But in this one case where it talks about actually defending the Bill of Rights, the federal government goes, oh, sorry, we can't do anything about it. Leave it to the states.
Right. And see, that's why when I thought Trump was, frankly, I think he's part of the secret society. He's just a one step back, so it's harder to see the plot against us. Because in this case, he concedes to state rights.
Or he's feckless and he's useless anyway.
Yeah, well, for all sake. Yeah. But I mean, how convenient. Now he's turned over the population to, a whole bunch of little dictators instead of having one big one. This isn't useful at all. It's the one step back. It's part of the process. We shouldn't be fooled by it. We need to basically just continue to alert the population that there is a group. They are organized. They have taken control of the reins of government, and their intent is genocide. It's that simple. It's that clear. So all of these little problems you're experiencing, like wearing masks when you don't feel like it, and not being able to go sit down at a restaurant, all these things, these are irritations that are occurring because you're in a process. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to get better. It's going to get worse. It may be one step back from time to time, but think of where you're heading. Think of where all this goes. You're losing all of your legal protections against the government. They're all being taken from you one step at a time.
Yeah, and if the people who are bishops and worrying about their tax-exempt status if they take on the government, well, the tax-exempt status will be worthless if you have no one donating to your church.
The churches aren't going to survive. They won't have one-tenth of the parishioners within a year. Because they would just be too demoralized.
Yeah, it's the same principle with retail stores. I don't. That's not the same thing, but you're creating conditions that make it no longer viable.
It is, yeah. It's the same thing in the sense of that they're putting these institutions out of existence.
Yeah,
you know, and the people don't see it. The priest, you know, thinks, well, it's a small price. He's just so wrong. It is the ultimate price when you concede to anything that is just irrational and dictatorship, mm-hmm. because it's never going to stop there. It's always a process. You're just getting nibbled to death. So, you know, we're fighting back. You know, there's lots of protests here in California, you know, and we haven't really crossed the line into violence. So that was taken away basically with this Minnesota, you know, police brutality thing. You know, but there are people, like, I can see it in our state where people are getting desperate.
Well, it's kind of funny because of the social distancing and stay-at-home orders and other restrictions that governors like Gavin Newsom and Mayor Garcetti have imposed, that California has a very easy recall law there. You only need like 225,000 signatures.
Yeah.
And a state of 40 million, that's not too onerous, as we saw recently with Gray Davis. But if you can't go door-to-door and you can't walk around getting signatures, guess what? Funny how that works out, isn't it?
Isn't it funny how it works? And so that's why we'll see about the elections. I mean, obviously, I mean, right now, there isn't any anti-government lockdown candidates that has emerged.
Yeah.
You know, Ron Paul has been a spokesperson, but he's, you know, perpetual kind of also ran. I mean, it would be great if one of the governors in a state that didn't lock down, particularly ones that did it on the grounds of the inalienable rights, said, you know, I'm going to be a presidential candidate. Well, yeah, I think Trump has, yes, and I'm going to oppose it.
The lady out in South Dakota.
Yeah, and then even run as an independent. I mean, obviously, yeah. you wouldn't win the election, but you would create visibility, and in the process of the election, you might be able to ignite a rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, okay, Joe.
Jim, I hope you have a great, great week. I'll be sending you a picture of my collection of masks that I'm collecting. One for every occasion, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna follow Sophia's thing with the HIPAA thing, laminate it, put a seal on the other end.
I've heard that works pretty well because think about the clerk at the 7-Eleven who's told, you know, look, just make sure everyone wears a mask, and you come in and then you actually give them a little plastic card with kind of a seal on it. I think I might. I mean, just for fun, you know, you might put like a Masonic crest or something. You know, and then just say, okay, you know, like, do what I tell you. You know, it's we have to be active and clever in our resistance, you know, every little thing we can do.
Yep. As clever as serpents and as gentle as doves. That's what we're called.
You got it, brother.
Okay, Joe, take it easy.
Talking to Tim, I will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.